Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello, hello, hello. Once again, like I say every Thursday night, 8 p.m., this is the FSP Crew Show. I happen to be the host, JT, a.k.a. The Master, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. And we always engage in conversation about the world of fantasy sports and politics. We have a jam-packed show in store for you tonight. There's a lot of things I want to cover. Passing of one is an ex-NFL and TV personality. One is a college guru and love the college game. Another one is a coach ripping the ESPN. I also want to talk about the New York Jets. I'm talking about Tebow versus Sanchez, Sanchez versus Tebow. Also want to talk about an NFL star. It seems like these guys, these players or ex-players or coaches will just love to rip people. So Scott Vegeta's ripping Roger Goodell. Want to talk about a little baseball. One of my co-hosts happens to be a Nationals fan. We want to talk about the Nationals a little bit. I happen to live along with my other co-host, Jeff the Joker, in the New York metropolitan area. So we want to talk about, even though I'm not a Yankee fan, we'll talk about the heroics of one of the Yankees last night in the playoffs. And to top it all off, or not to end it, not last but not least, we want to talk a little bit about some women boxing and the possibility of one of the women boxers appearing on this show, maybe in the near future, as near as next week. So with all that, without further ado, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again. It's 347-637-3220. We also have a chat room. It's open. The Joker's in it. I'm looking in it. If you got a question, comment, do your thing in there, and we'll deal with it. With all that, let's get on with the show and bring in my two co-hosts in this order. Welcome, Joker Black.
Welcome to the show. Let's do it.
What's going on, people? Man, Nats win. The Washington Nationals win.
We'll get to that sooner or later. Just calm your jets, man. Just slow down. Slow your roll. It'll be all right. I know you're a little excited being a little fanatic or a fan for short, but we'll get to that. But first, I want to bring about a little sad news on the front. There's two guys. One, like I said, is an ex-player. I'm talking about Alex Karras. And for those who are movie buffs, he happens to be and you happen to be able to watch this. It happens to be a comedic classic called Blazing Saddles. One Alex Karras happened to be in that movie playing Mongo.
Mongo only pawn in Game of Life.
That's one of the best sayings, one of the best things that was said in that movie. That movie is full of comedy. Alex Karras was the perfect character for that. He was a former defensive lineman for the Detroit Lions. He died at home at the age of 77. He had kidney failure, and he also suffered from dementia. He was in a hospice at one time, and they sent him home because I guess they couldn't do anything for him. But he was a, like I said, he was a Detroit lineman. He also was a commentator for Monday Night Football. He also was on TV with the program Webster. I don't know if anybody knows that. I don't know if anybody's seen that. Maybe I know I have. Maybe Jeff has. I don't think Black is old enough to remember that program.
Come on, man.
I don't know.
George Papadopoulos. Come on, I'm hip.
Okay.
I'm hip to George Papadopoulos.
So, but Alex Karras, and he was also, along with Paul Hornung at one point when he was in the NFL, suspended. And I'm not throwing dirt on this guy, but he was suspended at one time for betting on football. So this guy had lived a full life, experienced a lot, and he passed away at a young age of 77. You guys want any comment on that before we go on?
He was a perfect TV father, Mr. George Papadopoulos, man. Alex Karras, great actor. I you might think I'm kind of young, but I remember Webster. I do remember Webster. That was a great show, man. Great show. Alex Karras, Detroit Lion, great. May he rest in peace. As you know, he's one of the guys that's involved in the lawsuit against the league. I hope something comes of that. I hope this guy didn't just die in vain from dementia. I hope they really press the league on this now. This has become a big issue.
Jeff?
Alex Karras did a lot after football. I think one of the few things you didn't mention, he even did some pro wrestling. But that was when he was suspended, and you hate to bring it up, but he was a good man, but he made a mistake with the gambling, he and Paul Hornung, and it was huge news at the time because they were two big stars, and they got suspended for an entire year, and they weren't sure if they were going to be allowed back, and they weren't accused of betting against their team, but the rules are you're not allowed to bet even on your team, and you're not supposed to associate with gamblers, so they paid the price for that. So, Alex Karras, it's a cliche, but he was known as a gentle giant.
Yeah. And then we'll move on to, and he survived by his wife of, by his second wife, and his six kids. He had six children, believe it or not. He led a full life, and God rest his soul. We're moving on to, and I just found this out about a half an hour ago, that Beano Cook, the college football commentator with an encyclopedic knowledge of the sport he dearly loved, this guy really loved college football like probably no other person that I've seen. He was 81 years old. Quite naturally, a lot of people seeing him on ESPN, which he worked there since 1986. He was the sports information director at the University of Pittsburgh for about 10 years back in the late 50s and mid 60s. He was a diabetic and his health had been failing, and he passed away today in his sleep. I have a clip I want to play about Beano Cook.
The college football world is suffering the loss of one of its own, and this is sad news. Beano Cook, longtime colleague and friend of many of us here at ESPN, he's been a college football analyst since 1986, passed away last night. He was suffering from health complications. He died at 81 years old. Mel, I know you have known Beano for years. How will you remember Beano Cook, a man who wore his love for college football like a school sweater?
Yeah, he was a great friend to the family, really. You think about Lauren, she referred to Beano as her godfather, her uncle, and Kim as well. I mean, Beano was just a great guy. And I think when you talk to Beano, it was always about college football. Nobody loved college football more than Beano Cook. And to be here, the only reason I think it's easy for us now to talk college was because Bino's always told me, hey, love college, keep loving, think about me when you think about college football. Great historian, the voice, you knew it was college football season anytime you heard Bino Cook. But yeah, that for me, it's just missing a friend already. 15 minutes ago, I heard about this. I knew Bino had been battling this for a while. But just a great man, had a huge heart. And our family here loved him dearly, and we're going to miss him. I'll tell you, college football is going to miss him. As I said, nobody, and Todd knows this, nobody loved the game of college football more than Bino Cook.
You guys got any comments? Jeff first, and then Black, if you want to comment.
Wow, I mean, he's one of the all-time great commentators for college football. I mean, he's almost like a football that did by Cal with the basketball. I can't think of too many guys who are synonymous with college football.
Black?
Oh, man, one of the college broadcasting legends, man. Vito Cook is up there with my guy. Lundquist, Vern Lundquist. I put him up there with that guy. Encyclopedia knowledge. College football, man. I'm going to miss Bino Cook. Condolences to his family.
That's right in your wheelhouse because you're a big college football guy. So
I love listening to Bino Cook do games.
Okay. And also, God rest his soul, I like Bino Cook. He was a funny personality because he always had a quirky way about him when he was talking about college football. So, and that's not a negative thing. That's a positive thing about him and because of his passion for college football. Let's move on to – we're going to stay in football, and we're going to knock these out one by one. Let's stay and go about let's see. Where do I want to go now? How about this one? As you guys know, the commissioner came down with his readjustment of, if you want to call it, of the suspensions for the players. And one of them was pretty unhappy with the results of what the commissioner came out with. And I'm talking about one Cleveland Browns linebacker, Scott Fujita, who has maintained his innocence throughout the whole New Orleans County, bounty scandal, was not happy with the latest actions of your buddy, a black NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, who reapplied lesser penalties to those players originally suspended at the start of the season. In the case of Fujita, his suspension was reduced from 3 games to 1. Still, he had plenty of choice words for Goodell, whom he said he was disappointed in. And I'm going to read his entire statement because I have it here right now. Here we go. This is a quote. "I am pleased the commissioner has finally acknowledged I have never participated in any so-called bounty program, as I've said for the past 7 months. However, his condescending tone was neither accurate nor productive. Additionally, I am purportedly being suspended for failing to confront my former defensive coordinator for his inappropriate use of language. This seems like an extremely desperate attempt to punish me. I also think it sets a bad precedent when players can be disciplined for not challenging the behavior of their superiors. This is an absolute abuse of the power that's been afforded to the commissioner. For me, the issue of player health and safety is personal. For the league and the commissioner, it's about perception and liability. The commissioner says he is disappointed in me. The truth is, I'm disappointed in him. His positions on player health and safety since the 2009 congressional hearing on concussions have been inconsistent at best. He failed to acknowledge a link between concussions and post-career brain disease, pushed for an 18-game regular season, committed to a full season of Thursday night games, has continually challenged players' rights to file workers' compensation claims for on-the-job injuries, and he employed incompetent replacement officials for the start of the 2012 season. His actions or lack thereof are the or by the league's own definition, conduct detrimental. My track record on the issue of players' health and safety speaks for itself. And clearly, as I just listed, the commissioner does too. Black, since you are a Goodell lover of Roger Goodell, for lack of a better word, comment on what Mr. Scott Vegeta just had to say in that statement.
I agree. I love to defend the commissioner, but he's absolutely wrong on this one. I agree 100% with Scott Vegeta. I still don't see why he has a game suspension for not doing anything. He clearly was proven innocent of the charges, and you still suspend the man from 3 games to 1 game. The commissioner, he's going overboard on this one. He's setting a very, very dangerous precedent for guys that need to come out and speak against coaches and things like that. That's not those guys' job. Those guys' job are to play football, listen to the coach, learn the plays, and get out there on that field and try to get a win. Roger, you know I back you 100%, but you're absolutely wrong on this one. Absolutely wrong.
How about you there, Jeff?
Yeah, I think Scott Vegeta is very articulate, and I agree with everything he said and everything Black said. And I don't understand when the contract, the collective bargaining agreement was up, a lot of players said they didn't like the discipline from Goodell and the whole process, and his unchecked powers remained intact. It doesn't make any sense. So if Vegeta wants to appeal, the appeal goes to Goodell. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's true. And the fact is, he's saying, I'm going to suspend you 1 game because you didn't speak up against your coach
for
using that type of language. Come on, man. Come on.
Crazy.
This is football. This is football. Come on. Unbelievable. Now my question is this. Now, they reduced, I think they reduced Anthony Hargrove's from 4 to 3 games or something like that. Vilma stays the same, Will Smith? I think he stays the same, if I'm not mistaken.
What was the foolishness of letting Sean Payton and those guys in the stadium just to see Breeze break the record? I thought these guys were suspended for the season. I mean, Goodell, you can't flip-flop and go back and forth. You're going to have one stance, keep with that stance.
I fully agree. I mean, this was to me, I don't know if this, maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but this wasn't a really big occasion for making an exception to have the coaches and the GM in the building, because Drew Brees had a possibility of breaking Johnny Unitas' consecutive touchdown record for games. To me, that's not that big a deal. Maybe I'm not looking at it, whatever, like I'm supposed to, but to me that really wasn't a big enough deal to go against your suspension and let those three guys in the building. So I don't understand. I still don't understand. They also came out with naming a guy named Kennedy. I forget his first name. That I don't know if you guys heard about this. That he was supposedly the whistleblower when he never got interviewed by the NFL. Putting his name out there like he was the one that I wouldn't say key in there, but he was one of the ones that was a whistleblower. You guys hear about this or no?
No. What you said, Kennedy? What is his full name?
Yes, his guy's name is let me see if I can find this guy's name.
And he was the whistleblower for the whole bounty gate?
Yeah, he, supposedly they said this guy was the whistleblower but he vehemently denied that he was ever interviewed by the NFL. Here it is. Jimmy Kennedy, in an attempt to clear his name as an implicated whistleblower in the New Orleans Saints bounty scandal, former Minnesota Vikings defensive tackle Jimmy Kennedy took to Twitter on Tuesday night to say he has never spoken with NFL investigators. On Wednesday, in a phone interview with USA Today Sports, Kennedy provided a few details about what he asserts as his only communication with the NFL on a matter. A short conversation with Joe Hummel, a former bounty gate investigator who has since left his post and no longer works for the league. The only person that called me was Joe Hummel, and he wanted me to think about it. I told him I didn't have anything to say. He said I want you to think about it, sleep on it for a night. I said, seriously, I don't have anything to say. I don't know what you're talking about. There's nothing to sleep on. There's nothing to think about. I called, he called his agent, Tom Condon. Tom gave me a lawyer's number, and I gave Joe Hummel the lawyer's number. He said, I'll try calling you back tomorrow to interview. And I said, there's no need to. Kennedy insists he knew nothing about the alleged bounty system prior to the NFL suspending the players and releasing any evidence. A memo sent to every team this week indicated Kennedy told former Vikings head coach Brad Childress there was a bounty on quarterback Brett Favre in the January 2010 NFC Championship game. The memo claims Kennedy told Childress, then Saints defensive tackle Anthony Hargrove, his teammate with the Rams, was the one who told him about the bounty. If Kennedy didn't blow the whistle, the question is, how did his name get tied to the scandal? Kennedy believes he knows why, that there was a misunderstanding about something he said during the loss to the Saints in which Favre was pounded by the Saints' defense, but he declined to discuss the specifics. So questions about what he said, why he said it, what effect his name being tied to the situation had on his status as a free agent, and other questions about specifics went unanswered. But Kennedy is adamant about one thing. I didn't talk to anybody. I swear on my mother's soul, on my grandmother's soul, on my kid's soul, I didn't talk to anyone about this. Anyone. No one ever interviewed me, ever. Ever. I never, ever met Roger Goodell. Ever. I don't know the man. So that's one thing that and the thing about it, the league sent this to every a memo to every team that this guy has said something.
Oh, man.
I mean,
sounds like a blackball and scapegoat job to me.
Unbelievable. I don't know how you could like Mr. Goodell and his lackeys in the NFL office.
He's having a bad couple of months, I should say.
Because this slams. Jeff, I know you conspiracy type of things. You got to be thinking this, that they're trying to cover their tracks, smear people all over the place, and just to make themselves look good from the top on down to whoever was involved in this investigation. This is crazy. Why would you send a memo to all the teams saying that this guy was involved in getting the information out there about the bounty gate? Jeff, you got any comment on this? This is crazy.
Well, maybe it's a coincidence that it sounds like the patsy is named Kennedy, you know, speaking of conspiracies, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know if you guys knew that or not, but I heard about this a day or so ago, and I couldn't believe it, and I couldn't believe it. His name was pushed out there by the NFL. It wasn't just the NFL released his name, which is like, you know, come on. How obvious can he be about trying to look good and trying to say that, well, we have all this evidence and this guy helped us? Come on. Anyway, let's move on to Tebow versus Sanchez. Monday Night Football, Mark Sanchez was on stage, on a national stage, playing the Houston Texans. Quite naturally, the Houston Texans prevailed in that game. Mark Sanchez did not do that well. And there was a sighting of Tim Tebow. Cheers rained down in the stadium when he ran on the field, and boos rained down when they exchanged positions, meaning Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow, and when Mark Sanchez was in the game. This week they play the Indianapolis Colts. In my opinion, I think they're going to lose again to the Colts because the Colts have been pretty hot. But they're playing in MetLife Stadium again. My question to you, Tebow versus Sanchez, Sanchez versus Tebow. I've been going back and forth. I had a discussion with Black on Sunday about this. I still strongly believe in this. I had a discussion, I think, last week on this show, and I still strongly believe in my thinking compared to what the general hype is and general fans of the Jets want is to get Tebow in there. I even heard on ESPN that it wouldn't be a good idea, along the same thinking I was thinking, that have Tebow in there, because then that means you're destroying, not destroying, but you're absolutely scrapping what you think of Mark Sanchez. He's done as a quarterback in the Jets. And you're going the Tebow way, which would be the right way, because you're taking a step back. I'm not going to keep on ranting. I'm going to ask you guys to give me an opinion on this again. I'll go with Jeff first and then Black.
Yeah. One of the problems, Jets have a lot of problems, unfortunately, that if they put Tebow in, who's he going to pass to? Who's going to block for him? And who's he going to hand the ball to? And, you know, it's hard enough putting in a new offense, which they had to do, Tony Sparano's first year as offensive coordinator. But they've been struggling trying to put in two offenses, one for Sanchez and one for Tebow. I think if they're going to make the switch, they'll probably do it during the bye week, which I think is week 9. But
Seven.
Is
it week 9? I thought it was week 7. That could be wrong.
Let me look. I was never a huge Sanchez fan, but, you know, he's not in a position to win. I mean, you know, any quarterback needs a supporting cast. But I don't feel too bad for him because he is seeing Eva Longoria. So good for him. Congrats.
Black, talk to me, man. Talk to me.
Man, what can I say about the Jets? You know this is going to be a problem, what Tebow was saying. Like Jeff said, you can't feel sorry for Sanchez. You go home to Eva Longoria every night. I don't know who you throw to, whether you're Sanchez or Tebow. Who do you throw to out there? There's nobody on that offense. The running game is so-so. Sean Green is not doing too much. I can't even name a Jets receiver. I thought Santonio Holmes go down. I don't even know who plays receiver for the Jets. It's just a big mess up there, and they have to figure out something. Whether they want to go spread option with Tebow, whether they want to do something with Sanchez, but they got to figure out something, because the season could be on the verge of being a losing season real quick.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have a couple of receivers. But no, you know what? I watched that game, and I'm when Sanchez was throwing to people, and even the commentators were saying, who's this guy? Who is this? Guys I never heard of before, besides Jeremy Curley, and I think Stephen Hill was cited out there for a short time. But Jeff Cumberland, I think, was a tight end. And I'm trying to think who – Chad Schillings was out there at one point.
T.O. was still out there. Classical Boys are still out there.
Well, that was posed to Rex Ryan on, I'm trying to think, it was the last couple of days. I was listening to ESPN radio, and he was being interviewed, and he more or less shut the door on that, said they really weren't interested in, and I'm not saying it word for word, but his overall thought and the words he was expressing was that he really wasn't interested in T.O. So you have to lay this completely, I wouldn't say completely, but heavily on the GM Mike Tannenbaum for the type of personnel moves he's made, including Tim Tebow, to get this to be where he's at. No viable second quarterback. The only viability you have is go to the third quarterback so you don't have to scrap the offense that you have in place right now. So,
no considerations of the Plastic Color?
No, that was posed to them. I'm trying to think what week it was. Was it week two, week three, somewhere around there? They asked about that because they knew that they saw the need for the Jets and receivers. And they more or less said the same thing they said about T.O., that they weren't really interested, they really didn't want to go in that direction. And you have to remember, too, that Plaxico, at the end of the season or near the end of the season, whatever it was, said that he didn't think Sanchez was a very good quarterback. So that has to weigh heavily on whether they bring him back and being able to coexist with his teammates. So even though he's healthy, he's 6'5", 6'4", whatever he is, 6'7", whatever he is, and scored all those touchdowns, you have to think that something's going on that Plaxico, even though he's said to have changed his ways, hasn't caught on to any team that may need wide receivers. I can think of Cleveland, who may need wide receivers, haven't knocked on the door. Miami. They haven't knocked on the door, so Jacksonville, they haven't knocked on the door. So, just to name a few of teams that may be in need of a wide receiver, experienced wide receiver that can still play a little bit, which I think Plaxico can. But you know, besides having ability, and this is my opinion, I think you guys probably share the same thing. Besides having the ability, being able to play in the National Football League, being able to be put on a team or signed on a team, there's a lot of politics in professional sports, professional baseball, professional basketball, professional football. If you don't go along, you don't get along, and you don't get signed. So, And I think some of these guys, T.O., Ocho Cinco, or Chad Johnson, and Plaxico, for example, they've all done their own thing for the most part. And these teams have come to the point, like, we don't want to deal with that. We don't want that in our locker room. You guys got too much baggage, even though that baggage you may have gotten rid of, and you may have turned over a leaf. We still don't want to deal with it because the fact is your reputation. I don't know how you guys feel about that. You want to expound on it? You can. Any one of you.
No, I agree with what you said. Just those guys' reputation precedes them, man. And it's hard to catch on once you start to get a reputation. And people start to look at you in different ways. You can show all the shades of change. But you only get so many chances in this league.
About you, Joker?
Well, the thing is, when these guys are in their prime, teams are willing to put up with the distraction. But then when they're past their prime, it's not worth the trouble. And, I mean, even if they can still do it, they're not what they were. And I think another issue is, especially at wide receiver, they want the backups to play special teams. And these guys are coming in as backups, and they don't play special teams. So that hurts these guys.
Okay. Well, with that being said, I'm taking, I wouldn't say taking bets. What week? Did you say the Jets have a week 9 if they're bye?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So do the Jets make the transition from Sanchez to Tebow before the bye week or after the bye week? Jeff and then Black.
I think a big change like that, bye week. So we'll see the Tebow era start week 10. But already they're talking about it. This looks ugly. This looks like the Rich Kotite year. This looks bad.
Yeah. Black?
I agree with what Jeff says, but the real question that people want to know is, what do you think, Jets fan?
I'm not a Jets fan, man. Come on, man. Stop. You keep on. You and Chris or whoever else, I could care less. But I'm not a Jets fan. I understand what you're saying. But I think it's a mistake altogether to put him on the field as an as a starting quarterback. Huge mistake. Huge, absolutely. I couldn't even express the amount of what I think this of a mistake this would be to put Tim Tebow on this, because in my opinion, they saw this show the last 8 games of the season last year. Okay, so he hasn't been effective the times he's been in there. So what makes you think if he's an every down quarterback that he's going to be that much more effective? He's just going to be another runner, read and react. He doesn't have the skill set like Robert Griffin or Cam Newton. He doesn't have the skill set. He doesn't have the arm strength. Doesn't have the accuracy. He doesn't have the football IQ as a passer to do that as those two quarterbacks I'm talking about. So all he can do is do this sprint option or read option, whatever you want to call it. And that's old news. Teams are caught up to that. They're ready for that. Put 8 guys in a box, and that's it. He may be able to pass every now and then, but he's not an accurate passer. So that's going to be null and void. Mark Sanchez is below 50%. He's in the mid-40s in his percentage. How bad do you think Tim Tebow is going to be passing the ball? So you don't have good runners. Sean Green, below Powell. I've been talking to this guy, Jonathan Grimes. I'm seeing that he's probably going to get a chance sooner or later because below Powell and Sean Green haven't been doing anything. So Jonathan Grimes may get a shot, who happens to be the – Joe McKnight was getting a shot. I mean, they had a running back by tri-mitty. Not just committee. They had tri-committee. They had 3 running backs on the Monday night, and none of them were doing anything. It's I forget who said it, either Black or Jeff. It's one big mess. It's one big mess, and one of you guys said it. This looks like the beginnings of a Rich Kotite type of season, and I have a very good feeling that it may be just that. So we'll see what happens. I mean,
spoken like a true Jets fan, but I digress.
I'm analyzing the team. I analyze any team. Oh, speaking of that, I'm sure glad you brought that up, Black, because the fact is, Matt Slauson, who happens to be one of the offensive players on the New York Jets, did a chop block on the back legs of Brian Cushing, and put Brian Cushing out for the season with a torn ACL. He got fined today for $10,000 for that hit. What do you guys think about that? That was considered a legal play, but there's a few guys, including Clay Matthews, who was a Brian Cushing's teammate at USC, said that was a dirty play. So what do you guys think about that, Jeff and then Black?
Of course, Cushing is on my IDP team, of course.
Right.
Which most of my teams are looking like a mass unit about now. And coincidentally, Cushing is from New Jersey. He played his high school ball at Bergen Catholic. And he's one of these guys, you know, he comes back to school one summer looking huge and ripped.
Right.
Yeah, it makes people talk. And I think he did get in a little trouble for performance enhancing. He got suspended last year for that.
Right.
But, you know, supposedly he's clean now. But, you know, the thing is, ending a guy's season, $10,000, that's nothing.
I didn't see the hit, so I didn't even see the game, so I can't really give you an accurate assessment. But if all he got was $10,000, that seems kind of cheap to take a guy out for the season. He's actually out for the season?
Torn ACL, he's gone.
Wow.
Gone for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Torn ACL. I watched the hit, and I've seen the hit more than once. Not the hit, but the play more than once. And he definitely.
How did it look to you?
It was definitely a cheap. I thought it was a cheap play. It with my wife. I'm watching my wife, and my wife likes watching football. And she said that was a dirty play.
Mm.
So it was a dirty play. I mean, he went at the bottom half of his legs, and he never saw it coming because he got him from behind, from the knees down.
Yeah.
He went at his the back of his knees, and took him down, and never saw it coming. And supposedly, now I never knew this. Supposedly, that's a legal play, and he wasn't close. This happened on the other side of the field where the play was going, like the runner. I think it was a run play. So he wasn't involved in the play. He wasn't involved in the play. He turned to look at the play, and as he turned, the lineman cracked back on him, chopped, you know, and took his legs out from behind. It was definitely, in my opinion, was a dirty play. So when I saw it, I don't know if it's ever going to be played again, but if you guys ever get a chance to see it, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Speaking of dirty plays, how about a dirty system? A dirty organization? How about your man Lance Armstrong and the post office squad? My goodness.
Oh, you know what? That's one of the things I didn't bring up, Black. I know you wanted to talk about that, so you may want to expound on that subject.
Apparently there was a doping scheme that went on for years with the post office team, and there was a code of silence.
Let me see now. All right. Tour doesn't mean that silence. 11 former teammates testify that on Wednesday released reams of evidence from former U.S. Postal Service teammates and corroborated by sworn affidavits into doping practices engaged and overseen by Armstrong during his rise to the top of cycling. The USADA's report accuses Armstrong of depending on performance-enhancing drugs to fuel all of his 7 straight tour titles. This Bruno Genevois, the head of the French anti-doping agency that cooperated with the USDA during its investigation, said Armstrong needs to respond to the report. If the report is solid, this proves that no sportsman, no matter what his notoriety, is sheltered from anti-doping legislation. This is what Bruno said. My second observation is to say that the sportsman in question must be called to explain himself, so that we don't draw premature conclusions without having heard from Armstrong. Only cycling governing body, the UCI, can ratify USDA's decision to strip Armstrong of his 7 tour titles, which is probably going to happen. I think that's almost a given. Among the 11 former teammates who testified against Armstrong are George Hincapie, Tyler Hamilton, I think I've heard of him, Floyd Landis, Jonathan Vorters, Levi Leipheimer, the last of whom has since been suspended by his team, and Frankie Andrew, whose wife, Betsy Andrew, provided USADA with her affidavit last month. The Andrews, were former friends of Armstrong. Betsy became close friends with Armstrong's ex-wife, Kristen Armstrong, when they were living in Europe. She had been one of Armstrong's most consistent and unapologetic critics. Wow. I am absolutely grateful to the USDA. They didn't cave to political pressure, nor to the once powerful Armstrong and his mafia tactics. You didn't need a dope to finish 11th in the tour, but you needed to dope to be on Lance's tour team and or make the big money. Once Frankie refused to be part of Lance's doping program once and for all, his career as a pro in the sport was over. The evidence provided by the USDA should prevent that from ever happening again to anyone who refuses to dope and wants to compete clean. I'm not going to go over the rest of it, but what you guys think about what I just said, Black, because you wanted me to bring this up.
Yeah, this guy had everyone fooled for years, and I couldn't believe how big this went. I mean, this is a whole organization sponsored by the
right.
Post office. And they're all involved in this doping scheme. It absolutely blew my mind when I saw that.
Jeff, you're a conspiracy guy. Talk to me.
Yeah, well, he was on top of the world for a long time, but when that many people know about something, it's hard to keep it a secret.
More information to follow, that's what I can say. I don't know if Armstrong's going to respond to this, but he bailed out and said he didn't want anything to do with it. I guess he knew all this was coming down the pike, and he wanted to try to distance himself as much as he could from it. So, speaking on that, let's move on to basketball. Okay. Basketball. We got about 13 minutes, so we're going to try to cover these as quick as possible. Stan Van Gundy, one of my favorite coaches, because he never holds his tongue, was supposed to be expected to settle into an NBA an analyst position following his recent firing from the Orlando Magic. His transition to the analyst chair appeared imminent as rumors circulated he would join ESPN's NBA Countdown. Talks fizzled, and in typical Van Gundy fashion, the former Magic and Heat head coach isn't going down quietly. No one at ESPN will tell us what happened, Van Gundy said in an interview with Dan Le Batard on the Ticket in Miami. Certainly by the NBA office certainly the NBA office isn't going to tell us what happened. One of the quotes from ESPN in there, we had discussions, but couldn't agree on a role. As is usual, that's a bunch of BS from ESPN. We actually did agree on a role, but then they came back and pulled that. That's when we knew something was up. The ESPN show, NBA Countdown, last season was manned by Mike Wilbon, Magic Johnson, Chris Broussard, and John Barry. And I think I really like that show. Initial reports indicated Stan Van Gundy and Bill Simmons could move in to replace Broussard and Barry. While Simmons still stands as a prospective addition, Van Gundy is on the outside of talks, and he said there was no explanation given for that development. Nobody is going to give a straight answer because that's just the way a lot of people operate. Nobody there has the guts to say anything, so that's what you deal with. What I find fascinating, you have to give David Stern and the NBA a lot of credit. ESPN pays the league, and then the league tells them what to do. It's more ESPN's problem. You got to have no balls whatsoever to pay someone hundreds of millions of dollars and let them run your business. I'm not going to go on to the rest of it, but you guys got the gist of how Stan Van Gundy feels. I'm going to go to Jeff, and I want Black to respond last because I think he got a really good kick out of it. Jeff, talk to me.
Well, I think the term they use, ESPN and NBA are partners, you know, broadcasting partners. So they're kind of in bed together, and maybe Van Gundy knows too much, and Stern doesn't want that voice. Hopefully someone will hire Van Gundy because, you know, I like what he has to say, and I think he'll be an excellent analyst. But David Stern's the Wizard of Oz. He pulls all the strings.
I totally agree with you. I love to hear Vine Gundy talk. This was 100% of David Stern's doing. Vine Gundy has always been outspoken. He's not going to hold his tongue for anybody. And I think David Stern was afraid that having Vine Gundy on the air at ESPN would hurt his product. I'm sure that that's what he was thinking. I'm definitely sure that's what he was thinking. But Vine Gundy will be an excellent analyst. I hope Fox or somebody picks him up.
Well, don't you think that people find it refreshing that to hear or listen to someone that actually speaks his mind instead of holding his tongue? I would think that probably would increase the viewership versus decrease it.
Enough with the company guys. I mean, you got to have a mix of guys there. You can't have everybody follow the company formula. You get a guy that's going to go against the grain. Ryan Gurney was going to be that guy. And then it just fell apart. I think Stern made the call at the last second. It's moved in.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because, like I said, he's one of my favorite coaches because Stan tells it like it is, regardless if you like it or not. He tells it like it is, so how he feels it is. So, all right, let's move on to baseball real quick. Excuse me. Let's move on to this first. It's the bottom of the ninth. Yankees are at home, and it's the typical movie.
What is this?
What's that?
Did this game take place today? You want to talk about bottom of the ninth? You want to talk about drama in the ninth?
Wait a minute. Listen to me. Yesterday's game. You wanted to talk about Ibanez. I want to talk about this. This is how I'm going to set this up. It was the bottom of the reason. You'll understand what I'm saying once I get through this. It's the bottom of the ninth. If anyone's ever seen The Natural, okay, they had a glorified diva in right field. He's about to step up and go hit, and the manager had enough of him, told him go sit down, and told Robert Redford, who's The Natural, to get up there. Well, this is the same scenario that happened. Alex Rodriguez was supposed to bat. Joe Girardi had the guts, I mean the absolute guts, to say, Alex, take a seat, Raul, go up there and bat. Bottom of the ninth, Yankees are down by a run, okay? Raul Ibanez, who's been doing this all year, this is not something unique, he's been doing this all year, comes up, hits a home run, and ties the game. Okay, Ibanez stays in the game. Alex Rodriguez is sitting down. They go up until the 12th inning. Bottom of the 12th again. Same situation. He comes up. I wouldn't say same situation, but he comes up, and he comes through again. He hits a home run to win the game, 3-2, walk-off style, and the Yankees win game three. Game four is being played today. Quite naturally, we don't know the results, but I don't know if you guys, or Jeff probably knows about this. Well, both of you guys might. What do you guys think about the heroics of Raul Ibanez? Talk to me.
Well, it doesn't take $500 million to hit a home run. So I'm glad that A-Frog was pulled in that situation. It didn't take guts to pull that guy. A-Rod's been having a terrible, terrible series, and he's been in the slump for a while now. But I give it to Ibanez, man. He came through when the Yankees needed it. The Orioles are hanging tough in this series. I didn't expect the Orioles to hang this tough with Baltimore. I understand they split during the regular season, but this is a very tough series. I have the series going five. I have the Orioles trying to make a win tonight and extending this thing to five. A great heroics by Ibanez. Great heroic.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's historic. It really is. And there's a lot of talk on the New York sports radio about A-Rod getting dropped in the order or getting pinch hit for. And I got to give A-Rod credit. I'm sure it was, well, I'm not sure, but it was probably for show. but he was the first guy to greet Ibanez when he came to the dugout. And as much as A-Rod has accomplished in his career, he's not clutch. He really isn't. For his career, his postseason numbers are atrocious. And he's got 5 years left on that contract. Woo!
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I hear you.
And we can't even say he's suffering from the LeBron syndrome, because LeBron got his championship. I don't know what's wrong with A-Rod
got
in the clutch. I don't know what's wrong with him in the clutch.
Well, hey, some players just don't have that gene, man. Some players just do not have that gene. When the push comes to shove, when the pressure's on, and that the cheeks get tight, they just don't come through. So even though he did win his one championship, he should have gotten more, but that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about another baseball thing going on. I know your Nationals won a game today. I know that, okay? And they tied the series up 2-2. But unnamed National players told FoxSports.com that Washington would have won its first two NL Division Series games against the Cardinals if Strasburg was on the roster.
Yeah, absolutely nuts. This is absolutely nuts. No one knows if it'll be up 2-0. Has Strasburg been out there on that field or not? I still don't see why these guys are even thinking about Strasburg when you're playing the defending champs. That's where your focus needs to be. Strasburg has been shut down. That's done. That's over with. There's no need to live in the past. You need to focus on the series at hand.
I understand that, Black, but I had mentioned this before, that if they were losing or if they lost, This is what I thought was going to happen.
It's too easy of a cop out. It's too easy of a cop out.
I understand, but it's only human nature. It's only human nature that if you have your horse, if you don't have your horse there, and your horse is not hurt, he was shut down, that you're going to get some dissension on why don't we have this guy now when we need him the most, that's the hit that the president or general manager is going to have to take, because he made the decision to shut him down. So, Jeff, what do you think about this?
Yeah, unless the Nationals go all the way, we're going to be hearing about it forever, about, you know, what if it's Strasburg. So, even if they were going to shut him down, they could have started vesting him more when it looked like the team was a contender, so at least this way he'd still be going. But whatever, unless they win the series, they'll never hear the end of it. And it's a young team. There's a good chance they'll be back, but you never know.
Right. All right. We'll see what happens. Last but not least, and I can't believe we covered everything up leading up to this point. We're going to get a confirmation next week or whatever about this. We got about 90 seconds, so we're going to go over a little bit about this next subject we want to talk about. We're going to talk about women's boxing. Women's boxing. There's a fight that's supposed to take place this Saturday in Mexico City between Ava Knight and Mariana Juarez. They're fighting at 112 pounds. The champion happens to be, if I'm not mistaken, Ava Knight, who is defending her IBF female flyweight champion. She trains out of Oakland. She is 9-1-3 with 5 KOs, whereas Juarez, wow, she's a seasoned vet, 35-5-3 with 16 KOs. Knight's 24. Juarez is 32. That's taking place this Saturday. And supposedly, we're going to have Ava Knight. Was it Lady of, I'm trying to think what the Lady of Boxing?
Yes, Ava, the Lady of Boxing Knight. She'll be with us at the earliest next week. I spoke with her during the week, and, you know, she's prepping for the fight, doing TV interviews and radio interviews. But as she shut all that down now, she's in full concentration mode for this fight Saturday. And she already told me she'll be on after the fight. So maybe next Thursday she'll be here. Maybe she'll be on the Saturday show. I'll give you confirmation, but it should be a very exciting fight, and I'm excited to talk to her. I haven't had a boxer on in a while. I'm also working on Seth Mitchell, who will be fighting in Atlantic City November 17th, the next great American heavyweight hope from the D.C. area. So, guys,
okay.
If I'm able to make it to that fight, I'm going to call you once I hit Jersey, both of you guys. Well, maybe
okay.
We can check out this fight in Atlantic City that's going down on the 17th.
November 17th, no doubt. I'm all for that. Anyway, we come to the end of our show. We didn't talk about fantasy football. I'm sorry about that, people. I'm pretty sure you've set your lineups, and hopefully I think Mike Wallace has scored already.
Yeah. Why are you talking about fantasy football? God bless you, man. God bless you. I had a guy on my team that just was not producing for me week after week. I was getting gray hairs for no reason, wondering why this guy's not performing. And here comes, God bless him, Jerry just comes in the last second. Sends me an offer I couldn't refuse. So I hope this guy does good things for you.
Well, let me put it this way, and I'm not trying to put the jinx on it. I'm just hoping that for the next few days leading up to Tuesday, when the trade is eventually going to go through, because a player that was involved in the trade is playing tonight, so the whole thing is locked until Tuesday. No one gets hurt, so that's not a problem. You're right. My team is my team connection is complete. You're absolutely right about that. I got the quarterback, the wide receiver, and the running back. So I've never done that before. I'm telling you right now, I've never ever done that before. I've either had the running back and wide receiver. I've had the wide receiver and the quarterback. I've had the quarterback and the running back. But none of the three that I've had now, the wide receiver, running back, and quarterback. So this is something new. I'm trying to see what happens. It may bite me or it may help me. We'll see what happens. I'm willing to try anything once to see if it works out or not. But and always willing to help out a fellow fantasy player and co-host. No problem. Anyway, with that being said, and it's time to get out of here because there's a lot of things happening. At 10:30 tonight, it's on FX. It's the season premiere of The League. That's a show about guys with a fantasy football league, for those that don't know. I got that on DVR. It's also tonight is the vice presidential debate. I got that on DVR, so I'm recording that. And then also, quite naturally, there's Thursday night football. So it's a jam-packed night. Depending on what your flavor of the month is, you can watch The League. You can watch fantasy. You can watch football, or you can listen to look at the debate, among other things. With that being said, I'm gonna step aside here. You guys, either Black or Jeff, one of you can go first. I'll name it like that. Black first, then Jeff. Say your parting shots so we can get the hell out of here.
Hey, people, have a wonderful fantasy football weekend. Watch the basement if you want to. Watch the game tonight. Definitely, if you love fantasy football, check out The League. Season premiere tonight. And let's go Nationals.
Good luck, everybody, playing fantasy football. If you're struggling, never say die. And go Yankees.
Go Yankees. And with that being said, I'm JT and Black and Jeff. Till next week. We're out of here.
Yeah. Mr. Encore. Fantasy, sports, and politics crew. Yeah. Check. Woo. fantasy, sports, and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.